Welcome to the FT Money Daily Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of November, and I'm recording at 9:05 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook, but just let's have just a quick look at what's happening in here today, and indeed this week. This week we've had mostly sort of ranging activity with a bit of downward bias for most stock markets, but flat on Wall Street, moving sideways. And we've had a couple of schizoid days on Wall Street, I should say, because yesterday we had a number of downward dynamics of the four indices I showed. We had a couple of downside key day reversals. But today, they regained the whole thing, or virtually the whole thing. A good firm rally. Now, inevitably, there needs to be a catalyst, and that came or proves to have been in the employment figures for October, where people were quite concerned about layoffs and slowing down global GDP growth. And the estimates for the employment figures were quite weak. For instance, the median forecast of 91 economists, according to Bloomberg, the median forecast was for a gain of 120,000 jobs for October. But they actually rose 204,000, so substantially higher. And I think the most optimistic forecast of those 91 economists was 175. And that led to some short covering, as you can see in here today, and no doubt also some buying. If you just take 1 month's data, and I would be very careful to do that, but people are concluding here today, at any rate, that the U.S. economy is stronger. And that although that will bring closer the inevitability of QE tapering, that the economy at least would be in a better position to actually handle it. We got sharp rises here today in the government bonds, and so those treasury yields have moved up smartly. And I think the 10-year is up above 2.71. Remember, the high was 3, just over 3 back in September. Then we fell down to 2.47, steadied there. I've been saying that I thought that was probably the low during this medium-term consolidation, and it's already back up into the low 270% region. Okay, now, what do we have overall here? As I say, we've got, what's the outlook here, I should say, for the medium term overall? Stock markets are much higher, as I've been saying daily, and as you will certainly know, having watched the markets and having participated in the markets. And therefore, valuations are higher. That has increased risks here somewhat. There is coming soon the resumed uncertainty over the exact timing and actions that we will see from the Fed. My feeling is it's going to be a fairly choppy period here overall, and that we will see stock markets become more volatile. I do not think that we're going to see anything like the bearish declines that we saw in 2000, early 2001, or that we saw in 2008 and also early 2009 for a number of indices. Really, following big crashes like that, you get a lot of people who go on forecasting another big crash, and veteran subscribers will know that I've said that was very unlikely, following two crashes that we probably wouldn't see another big one for quite some time. And that's still very much my view. But could we get a cyclical bear market, a sort of a 20 to 30, 35% decline, that sort of thing, in the next few years? I think that's highly possible, and indeed a probability at some point, but not as a sustained downward move, but just as part of a choppy overall action, because the big hurdle here for global stock markets and the global economy will be coming off the big quantitative easing stimulus, and coming off the very, very low interest rates that we see around the world in so many economies. Now, you can argue, or people do argue all day long about, well, this will be better for the global economy, and others are saying, no, it might not be. The interesting point here for me is just how will investors react? And I think that they're likely to be somewhat uncertain because we haven't been here before. And I think it's that will create the recipe for a choppy overall market environment. I'm going to be speaking tomorrow, this is related, and I'm going to be speaking tomorrow at the World Money Show here in London at the Queen Elizabeth II conference facility in Westminster. And one of the points I'll be making is that I'll go into longer-term forecasts here, because usually in this business people are just hovering over the day-to-day activity. That's challenging enough, but I want to have a good medium to longer term look at the future. I occasionally do that in these Friday broadcasts. And my feeling is that we are somewhere in that late 70s to early 80s period, if you're old enough to remember what stock markets were doing back then, the actual end of the valuation contraction cycle that ran from basically the, I've always tended to measure it from the highs in 1968 through to the valuation lows that we were seeing in the second quarter of 1982. And that was certainly a bit of a choppy period, and it's remarkable how similar the charts look. If you look at a 50-year chart, for instance, on a semi-logarithmic scale in the library, as you can easily do, look at the S&P and look at the Dow, and you will see what I'm actually referring to. We've had another long valuation contraction cycle. I don't think that it's over, but I do feel that it's in its latter stages. The hurdle, to repeat this point quickly, is to get beyond this slow growth period and to get beyond this exceptional and unsustainable stimulus, financial stimulus, into a period where the global economy is actually able to maintain in a normal business environment, normal interest rate environment, is able to generate a self-sustaining period of economic growth. My feeling is that it'll take a few years for all that to fall in place, but it certainly should be in place before the end of this decade. And I'm on record here in these broadcasts and in some of my copy for saying that I think that this will be followed by the beginning of another secular bull market for equities. And I'm also on record as saying that this will occur, of course, for very different reasons than the last secular bull market, but I can remember back in 1982, in the early 1980s, all sorts of people were saying, no, 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 you can't possibly have a secular bull market in this environment, because the last one occurred after World War II. And saying, well, we haven't had any World War II to enable us to repeat that cycle. Well, people say, towards the end of the decade, they'll say, well, no, we couldn't possibly have a secular bull market in a few years' time, because we don't have those ultra-low valuations that we had in 1992, when we also had very high interest rates, as Paul Volcker had been choking inflation out of the global system. And my point is that the economic background will always be different, or virtually always be different, as far as these cycles are concerned. And I think that there are some very positive long-term factors that will contribute to that or fuel that super cycle bull market to lasting, you know, 20, 25, 30 years. It'll be punctuated by some bear markets, just as we saw with 1987 in the last overall bull market cycle, but that move to the downside, well, terribly dramatic when it occurred. It didn't last all that long. Okay, so what are those factors? The big one is technological innovation. We haven't seen anything like that before, and it really is an exciting story. It's really science fiction coming true, and the changes are occurring with at an accelerating speed. And I think the speed of these technological advancements will continue to accelerate. I think that's highly likely, until eventually some unrelated event actually brings that to a halt. But it could go on for a very long time. And that is good for all of us. It is particularly good for corporations. It makes them vastly more efficient, as we have already seen. And for anyone who suspects that, well, you don't feel that the rate of technological innovation is increasing, just look at the changes you see in your own life over the last 10 years. And those would be personal examples, but the corporate examples are even more numerous. So technological innovation, accelerated rate, I should say, of technological innovation, be a huge driver, I think, for that secular bull market that I'm anticipating and wanting to participate in, of course. The next factor, I would say, and I've often mentioned before, would be lower energy costs, somewhat lower energy costs in real terms. In other words, adjustments for inflation, because inflation has continued, will continue. And I feel that that's a safe forecast. not just the continuing of inflation, but that we will see lower energy costs in a few years' time in real terms. And the reasons for that, I think, are becoming increasingly apparent. The huge factor is the shale and gas development program. Now, that's largely a U.S. industry, but most countries have significant reserves of shale oil and gas. There are political factors that are delaying the development. There are technology factors in many of those, most of those countries, which are delaying the development. In other words, the U.S. has developed the technology and has a big lead, but it will spread. It is spreading. Not quite as fast as I would like to see, because I think global GDP growth would be stronger today and over the next few years than it will be if more of these countries were able to produce its own shale reserves. Take the UK, for example, where I live, and instead of building these white elephants known as wind farms, if efforts had gone into the shale oil and gas development, I feel the economy would be would be stronger, and our bills would our energy bills would be lower. But not to digress too much on that. That's the second big plank of that overall growth. The third is the triumph of capitalism. It's something that we've certainly seen in the last couple of decades. We certainly haven't seen the last of communism, but most of these communist economies, and certainly China, it's a command version of capitalism. Whereas here in the West, we have a free market capitalism in Europe. So I think that the triumph of capitalism means that a lot more economies are productive, and combine that with lower energy costs and technological innovation at an accelerated pace, and they become even more productive, and GDP growth actually goes up, and that will help to fuel this secular bull market overall. Then another factor that we have is other factors, the rise of the global middle class. When you go back to that 1982 period, which I defined as sort of the beginning of the last secular bull market, we were talking about the United States, Canada, we were talking about Europe, Australia, Japan was an emerging market. And a lot of the rest of the world wasn't really participating in the strong global GDP growth that we are likely to see, that we have seen in early years of this century, and that I think that we will certainly be seeing increasing over the medium term. And that includes the rise of the global middle classes that we see all over the world. Certainly, that's a good story in terms of consumer retailing. Now, other factors here. I think that's well. Those are certainly the main ones, and I think they're well capable of fueling another secular bull market. Of course, what could go wrong? Well, I think they're mostly in the black swan category. In terms of things that could actually go wrong, we could have major wars rather than the small, very unpleasant, but small wars that we've been seeing. Certainly, anything like a superpower war would be devastating, but probably unlikely. We certainly hope so. Will we get an alarming deterioration in climate change? Or an extreme form of climate change? Well, some people think so. You and I hope not. I think it's probably unlikely. I mean, you could say that the climate is more or less always changing somewhat. But are we going to get a really severe, dramatic increase in climate change that has a devastating impact on the global economy? Well, you couldn't entirely rule it out, but it's unlikely. Will we get a doomsday comet impacting the Earth? Well, it's certainly possible, but hopefully that's very much in the black swan category. And as time goes on, I think that our use of technology and our ability to identify these things and to have some chance of deflecting them will actually increase. So again, the threats to the global secular bull market that I can identify at any rate are a series or they're I'll put them individually, they're outliers. They're black swan factors that we will hopefully be able to avoid, or at least control Should they occur? Okay, moving on. And what that's stock markets, but I think it's going to be a very attractive period, and so I think we have a more challenging environment over the next few years, but by no means one that we can't deal with. We can very much deal with this. I want to be largely invested in equities. And the autonomies, that's the other one that I hadn't mentioned, and all the global trade across borders. I think you can happily choose a portfolio from the 135 to 150 global autonomies that are out there that Owen in particular has been talking about, and there'll be more of them in the future. And this is an unprecedented development relative to other secular bull trends. Back in 1982, we were in a world where most of the earnings by individual companies occurred within the countries where they were within their home countries, I should say. Whereas now there are a large number of global autonomies benefiting from GDP growth all over the world. Okay, let's move on to long-dated government bonds. Here we are in the early stages of a bear market that's likely to run for really quite some time. That is in response to the phenomenal bull market, which lasted for 31 years. And the main feature of this bear market that's unfolding is that those long-dated interest rates will rise over time. I hope that we don't see for a very long time the sort of inflation pressures that would cause them to spike up to levels that central banker Paul Volcker had to address. And I think one of the factors that could prevent that would be just globalization, which has a disinflationary effect on costs. And hopefully that will remain the case. But certainly a secular bull market is always followed by a bear market, and usually a bear market of some considerable duration. So in other words, I'm saying after a 31-year secular bull market for global bonds, interest rates coming down throughout that period, it would not be surprising to see at least a 10 or 20-year period where the overall bias is upwards. Not every day, not every month, not even every year, but the broad long-term trend is for rates to be pushing somewhat higher. When we get surges in rates, that will cause problems for stock markets for sure, and it will cause problems for other asset categories and lead to some of the cyclical bearish reactions. In terms of currencies, I think that the currency among the bigger countries that is probably safest to forecast in terms of a move to the upside will be the U.S. dollar. Now, not anytime soon, because the U.S. is very anxious to keep its currency competitive in this environment, and it will succeed in doing so. And it also needs to do that with the all the quantitative easing that's taken place, and the U.S. Federal Reserve's somewhat alarming balance sheet. So I don't think this is a near-term factor, but I think over the longer term we will eventually see that U.S. dollar push up and be quite a strong currency relative to most others. And the background factors that will contribute to that is that first, over, say, the last 20, 30 years, we had a generally soft dollar. So it created quite an attractive value for the dollar. And then the drivers here for the appreciating U.S. dollar will be the USA's technology lead. It may not have that forever, but it certainly still has it for today. And it's unlikely to lose that lead anytime soon. And that's very good for U.S. GDP growth over the longer term. It also is virtually energy independent, and it certainly will be energy independent before too much longer, thanks to the fracking technologies. And the U.S. has a lot of shale gas and oil that it is producing and will continue to produce for several decades. That gives the U.S. a big competitive advantage in terms of energy costs, because other countries have been, remain considerably slower to take this up for either political reasons or because they just don't understand the technologies, and the process is complicated. It's the U.S. that's so strongly in the lead in this area. Now, that will mean to have a large industrialized, developed economy that has very competitive energy costs, that will mean that a lot of other international manufacturers, large corporations and not just industrialist ones, but starting with industrialist ones, will be wanting to move to the United States and produce there, and that will certainly help the U.S. economy and U.S. global GDP growth, and that will be a driver for the rise of the U.S. dollar over time. And what else to mention here? What about these commodity markets here? It was interesting. You know, I post that cumulative commodity index from time to time, and I've done it quite often, often once a week or so. And I noticed today, because it had been sliding down to that previous floor level near the 250. It was very close, less than 2 points earlier in this week. But it had an upside key day reversal here today. We'll need to see if there's any follow-through on that over the next few days. But commodities have been quite weak over the last couple of years, and that's because they'd gone up too high. Initially, there was a lot of speculation involved in all that, and that curbs demand. Slow growth global economy, that curbs demand for these commodities. In the industrial sector, these big efficient companies had geared up production and are now in the process of cutting that back somewhat. Makes those shares interesting, incidentally, because you can buy some of these big resources producers for under a PE of 10, whereas your top international retailers, I think I've cited that Nike example, and it's hardly alone. And this, we're talking about 25 times earnings. I get back to what actually happens here in the commodity markets. Having ramped up supply as demand was increasing, now we're seeing in the industrial sectors, we're seeing them rein in supply, at least in terms of the industrial metals, somewhat. And demand will, of course, pick up as the global economy improves a few years down the road, and that will lead to a stronger phase for commodities generally. The best aspect of these softer commodity prices is in the foods, and that's because after sort of seven biblical years in terms of difficult harvest environment, we have had a generally favorable outlook for many crops, not least including staple grains and beans. And we've also had additional plantings of coffee, and that's brought the prices way down. What the biggest threat, if you believe in global warming, and most Flora Money subscribers, my hunches are sort of agnostics on this subject, but if you believe in global warming, one of the bigger threats is to some of our favorite crops, luxury crops. But for instance, French wine has a very bad year this year because it's been too wet, and grapes have been rotting on the vines, and they haven't developed the sugar content that they require for the best wines. Orange juice, I think a similar situation. Too much water. So inevitably there are swings and roundabouts as far as these weather patterns are concerned overall. But the world gradually becomes more efficient in terms of being able to produce food, and hopefully that keeps prices under wraps. And I suspect it will over the longer term, for the most part. Okay, what else to mention in here? I think that pretty much wraps it up in terms of what I wanted to cover on in these markets. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you tomorrow at the World Money Show, where I will be speaking, and also on the 14th at the Caledonian Club in the West End, where I will also be speaking. Please do come up and say hello if you happen to see me there. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you, and have a fabulous weekend.